We're live from the Yaxian Community Studios on this wet and rainy Wednesday afternoon here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. It's just really weird.
This has been the craziest August that I've been here for 25 years. I've never seen a month like this.
I know. It's just
I got a neighbor, a new neighbor. He moved in just a couple of months ago. And I told him, like it's never been like this. Like, it's not like this. It's normally 115 to 120 every single day, and you're miserable. So, this is not the norm.
It is not the norm.
But it's been, I've enjoyed it.
And it's a nice break, and it's somewhat similar to the break that we're getting with the Arizona Diamondbacks this season, because it's been an awful season for them. But not lately. Lately, in their last 26 games, they're 13-13. And the pacing in terms of the season losses, they're on pace right now for, I think, 109 losses on the season. But if they play 500 ball from here until the end of the season, it'll be like 102 losses, which is not great by any stretch of the imagination, but it's not as bad as it was pacing to be.
Man, 100 in loss. You can't shine 100 losses.
No, I'm not trying to shine
100 losses. I'm not
saying
you are, but like, no matter what, like, if you lose 100 games.
But this thing was pacing for 105.
I know they were 15? Pacing to be one of the maybe the worst team in history to beat out Casey Stengel's Mets in what was it 65?
Yeah,
that Mets team. It was pacing worse. But
you're right. You lose 100 games, and there's no way you can spin that into something positive. It's a terrible season when you're triple digits in the losses. But something happened last night to the Arizona Diamondbacks when they beat the Phillies by a score of 3-2. We had Josh Van Meter on. He homered. He doubled. Taylor Widener pitched really well. The bullpen pitched really, really well last night. Something happened because the Orioles lost their 13th straight game last night. And by doing so, the Orioles have now passed the Diamondbacks for the worst record in Major League Baseball. Not by a lot. I mean, 0.03 of a percentage point. They're basically tied, but the Orioles have the worst record in baseball right now. Do we want the Diamondbacks to finish with the worst record in Major League Baseball this year?
Orioles are tied 2-2 right now against Tampa Bay. I think we'll watch it. We'll keep our eye on it. I'm intrigued by what Torrey Lovello said yesterday when we had Torrey on about this. You know, because, look, sometimes in a not-so-roundabout way, let's play the young kids. We don't need to play this guy or that guy. That's
code for tanking sometimes.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying, right?
That's code for tanking.
Hey, you know what? Eric Bledsoe, we're not going to play you anymore. Yeah, we're not going to play you anymore this season. Take some time. We want you to remember that.
Of course.
So, like, in a roundabout way, there's a way to do it without saying, hey, I want you to lose. Hey, I want to play this guy and I want to play that guy, but I don't want to play these three guys. But with Lovello on with us yesterday, I asked him, has anybody asked you, basically to lose baseball games, and he said no.
Nobody's had that type of conversation with me. I ask Amiel Sade, who is our GM, and he's also in charge of the amateur side. I ask him questions about the players for next year's draft all the time. I do know the name Elijah Green, and he is a great talent. You're absolutely right. But it's never, ever my intention to finish is the worst team in baseball. That's not a goal I ever set out for. I want to run some people down, and that's perfectly clear. That's been my intent. That's been my message to these guys. And, yes, we do follow the standings. That's our job. We got to pay attention to what's going on around us. As heartbreaking as it is to look at it, we still have to pay attention to it and embrace where we are and say we've done this to ourselves. So we want to run some people down. That's our mindset. And wherever we finish in the draft order next year, it'll be an indication it's the year we've had. But like I said, we want to chase it down, and we want to get into the thick of the things, not be the first pick for next year's draft.
Elijah Green is the presumed top pick next summer in the draft. He is, depend on who you listen to. Some people think he's this can't miss prospect who's like this generational talent. Others think he's got some flaws in his game and that there are other names to consider. He is not a universally thought of as a can't miss guy. And it's funny, we're talking about the number one pick. They showed a highlight about 30 minutes ago, Justin Upton hitting a two-run shot for the Angels.
Former number one pick.
Yeah, former number one pick of the Arizona Diamondbacks. And he was the reward for the Diamondbacks being as bad as they were that year and for having that number one pick. Man, I go round and round about this, and you framed up the question so well. When I watch the Diamondbacks play tonight against the Phils, am I rooting for them to lose? No. I am not. I am not going to be rooting for the way I was rooting for the Cardinals to lose. at the end of Steve Wilkes' first season, and certainly not the way I was rooting for the Suns to lose when we were counting ping pong balls, hoping they'd win the lottery and get the number one pick in the year of DeAndre Ayton. I'm not rooting for the Diamondbacks to lose, and yet the number one pick would be a really nice reward for a crappy season of Diamondbacks baseball. I mean, it would be, man, if we're going to go through all of this, wouldn't it be nice to have that number one pick as a hook to hang your hat on when it's all said and done?
Yeah.
It would be.
I mean, it always is. I mean, whether it was Upton, whether it was DeAndre Ayton, or whether it was Kyler Murray, there's an excitement that comes with having the number one pick. Hey, listen, the Coyotes are going to be really big. They're going to have some number one picks coming up here.
Sure.
You know, it's very likely they're going to have a number one pick or two because they're going to be so bad over these next couple of years. And the Diamondbacks, you know, right now they're in a position for one or two with the Orioles. Look, you know, the kid is an outfielder from Florida, IMG Academy, but there's other players that are, you know, high. I was just looking at a mock draft for next year. Jacob Berry, third baseman out of Louisiana State. He had a strong freshman year at Arizona, by the way. You know, Dylan Lesko, a right-handed high school pitcher. Like, there's a lot of talent there. There's not only one player in the draft, but, man, it'd be a consolation prize if you had the number one pick. So part of me wants the number one pick, but it's hard to go into a game and say, I want the team to lose.
Yeah, when I was rooting for the Suns to lose in the eight in the year, part of me felt dirty for wanting it. I didn't feel dirty about the Cardinals. Like, the Cardinals, it was, no, man, lose. Lose and get the number one pick. I mean, please, just lose. Because number one picks, they're different in every sport, right? You lose out in basketball. You're not even guaranteed the number one pick because it's a lottery system, for one thing. You get the number one pick in baseball. Man, baseball is such a crapshoot when it comes to whether top picks are going to hit or not. In football, the number one pick feels like the closest thing you have to a sure thing out of the three big sports. Like, if you're going to get the number one pick, chances are you're going to get a phenomenal player who will change the face of your franchise, the fate of your franchise.
Guy's coming in and playing a couple months after you draft him.
And it doesn't work that way in basketball. And it really doesn't work that way all the time in baseball, which is why I'm not as passionate about rooting for them to lose like the way I was for the Cardinals a few years ago. Real quick, Mike Hazen was on Doug and Wolf today, and he was asked about the number one overall pick.
As far as the long term, if your question was more about do I want to finish with the first pick, no, I don't, frankly. I do not. That is not something that, you know, wearing that around your neck for the entirety of the offseason. I think we've proven in the draft that we can find good players at six. We've proven in the draft that we can find good players at 15. And frankly, we've proven that we can find good players in the 30s. So, yes, I understand what the first overall pick can mean in certain cases. But that's not something that I would like to have happen, no.
Mike Hazen has never been about tearing it down to the studs, and he's never been about wanting a number one pick. That's just not what his DNA has been all about.
Nope, they want to win baseball games and let the chips fall where they may.
Rondale Moore has already been on our radars here in Arizona with how he's looked during Cardinals training camp. Now the rest of the NFL is beginning to take notice, and you'll hear how coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. You better get on board while you can, because that Rondale Moore bandwagon... that Rondale Moore party bus.
We're closing it soon.
It's
like my kid. I tell him that, you know, because he snacks. You know, growing young, you know, boys, they snack a lot. You remember this? So I tell him, kitchen's closed at 8:30. He doesn't care. He just always like he'll eat a full dinner and then an hour later be grabbing like four things out of the refrigerator.
First of all, you
kitchen's closed 8:30.
You say you remember, like I still don't snack every single day all the time. That's one. Number two, I've been to your house. There's actually no way to close your kitchen.
I tell them it's closed.
Uh-huh.
Kitchen's closed. 8:30, kitchen's closed.
Do you lock up the peanut butter like
I do not.
All right. Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Gambo
has
one of those gates like at the mall that they roll down.
Exactly. Comes right down from the ceiling.
Although I tweeted this out earlier. I retweeted a Darren Revelle tweet. Did you see those new Girl Scout cookies that are coming out?
I saw you say something about that.
Somebody put the pantry lock back on the door,
caramel
baby.
Or something like
it's
that?
It's like a brownie, and inside the brownie is peanut butter, caramel, and something else. And it's like, oh, man, I'm going to make so many bad choices with that. I just, And now I've already got people on staff. I'm like, we'll sell you boxes now if you want. I'm like, no, just wait. You know, no.
I was at the grocery store the other day, and we were going through aisles, and Chelsea's like, aren't these like just like there was a brand that had like all like what the Girl Scout cookies? Like, you can't do that.
No, just ripping them off.
You
just
can't copy the Girl Scout cookies.
Our young female entrepreneurs.
No,
you can't do that.
We need to support the young Valley entrepreneurs. Is what we need to do. Hold on, I'm looking up. Okay,
Adventure Fools is the new name.
That's the name of the cookie, Adventure Fools. A peanut butter caramel filled brownie cup called Adventure Fool. That's the new Girl Scout cookie for 2022. I mean, just
do you want another dark chocolate almond of mine?
take my money and put the lock on the pantry door now, for the love of God.
That's a terrible name, though.
Adventure Fools.
Adventure Fools.
Yeah, we should just call it Dave Burns' favorite cookie.
Stomach Fools. Anyway. I just retweeted it from Burns and Gambo, by the way.
If you want to see the cookie.
Unbelievable. Yeah,
how many boxes? What's the over-under on how many boxes you're going to buy? Can I set it?
Sure, please do.
4.5.
Over.
I got the over-under at 4.5 on how many boxes you're going to buy of that cookie right there.
Okay. Sarah says over.
Yeah.
What do you got, Jordan?
Jordan, you got the over or the under?
5!
5. That would be the over.
I'm taking the over.
That would be the over.
Gorgeous.
Because I'm the subject of this, I really can't chime in. So you're free to vote as you will. But 4.5 is a good number. That's a lot of cookies to buy, but they look so good. Anyway, the bandwagon for Rondell Moore. Back to your originally scheduled programming here. The Rondell Moore bandwagon is starting to fill up. Peter Schrager today on Good Morning Football was giving out his list of breakout players for 2021. And as he points out when unveiling who number 5 is on his list, by now you can probably guess who it is. He says he does not give this award out to rookies very easily.
Number 5 is this guy. I rarely put rookies on this list. Very rarely put rookies on this list. Very rarely take second round rookies on this list. I like to see what they can do and then see if they can break out. I'm breaking that rule. Rondell Moore is going to be a sensation this year in Arizona.
Sounds like John Gambadoro is hosting Good Morning Football.
It does. It does. I mean,
you sound nothing like him at all.
No,
but
I've been on this Rondell Moore thing probably, you know, from day one. I mean, the first camp, and I started to get, you know, I get a little bit of feedback here and there. Some of the things I'm hearing, some of the things I was seeing made me believe, like, this kid's going to be really good. Like, he's making an immediate impact. So he was turning heads. But as we know, we've been there and done that before with players that guy turns head. But it's only camp. So you try to kind of take it with a grain of salt. You don't get too excited about it. But with Rondell Moore, then you see the game, right? The first preseason game, you're like, oh, my God, all right. This kid's going to be a weapon. Who's covering him? Who's got linebackers covering him? No. Safety's covering him? No. So you got a corner on Hopkins and a corner on A.J. Green. Oh, by the way, Lewis Riddick was raving about A.J. Green today.
Lewis Riddick on Twitter 2 hours ago. From what I saw from A.J. Green at Cardinals practice today, looked like the 2015 version. He was fire emoji. A.Z. has the potential to have top 5 wide receiver group with D-Hop, A.J., Rondale Moore, Christian Kirk.
Yeah. So when you look at that and you say, okay, who's covering Rondell Moore? You got to bring another corner into the game. So now you've got another corner in, and that could free things up for a tight end. That could free things up for either A.J. Green or Hopkins. It's just the running game could free things up to really, you know, throw the ball out of the backfield to Chase Edmonds or Connor. Like, I just think that Rondell Moore is one of those guys. It's like, you know, you can't cover him with a linebacker, and you're not going to come up and put a safety up in the box to cover him. And it's just, he's going to be a matchup problem for a lot of teams because he's so fast. And you were comparing him to the same position with Fitz. Fitz was taller, so he was more of a target. But Fitz didn't have the speed to clear. So you had to kind of wait for him to clear. You're not going to have to wait for Rondale to clear. He's going to be like a bat out of hell, man. He's going to be so quick, you know, clearing, you know, where you want him to into space. So I think that's going to really benefit Kyler.
Yeah, there was a writer yesterday on Twitter, and it kind of sparked a conversation on Twitter that our own Kevin Zimmerman got involved in, too. In which he said, Rondale is the absolute stone nut fit for the horizontal raid. Should be an every down slot guy in this offense. And you think the horizontal raid. I mean, anybody who's watched Cliff Kingsbury football the last couple of years knows Cliff runs a lot of, you know, horizontal action, a lot of side-to-side action. Larry Fitzgerald might not have been best suited for that kind of action. Rondell Moore, in the very limited work we saw Friday against Dallas, looks like he might fit into that much, much better than Fitz did because he's got that slippery kind of speed. As comps go, here's the one Schrager gave on national TV today about Rondell Moore.
So you say, okay, you mentioned Debo, you mentioned Ayuk, we've seen Curtis Samuel be used. Who's your comparison? It's not those guys. The way I see them using him in that offense, which I know Kingsbury's air ride offense, is actually this guy, Wes Welker.
Okay.
Wes Welker, number 83, when he was in New England, everyone thinks was just an over-the-middle guy. He wasn't. Wes Welker has one of the fastest guys in the league when he was playing and was fully healthy with New England and was used in so many ways. Special teams, wide receiver, sometimes out of the backfield. And, of course, he and Randy Moss together were just a problem and something to be reckoned with. So then you look at DeAndre Hopkins on one side, A.J. Green on the other. How are you going to account for Rondell Moore, who might be the fastest out of all of them, and is going to be used out of the backfield, on jet sweeps, all these type of things? This offense could be electric. It will be electric if Rondell Moore does what they expect him to do.
I got to admit, I'm warming up to the idea that Rondell Moore is going to be everything that everyone is saying. I'm not there because I'm very skeptical of stuff like this in August. You know me. I gotta see it when it matters the most in September. So if it happens, I'll give credit to the Peter Schragers of the world and the John Gambadoros of the world for having the foresight to see it happening before it happened. I am always very skeptical of guys who are, wow, look at this dude in August, because so many times those guys get to September and it's fake. It didn't happen. But I'm warming up to the idea could be real.
We had a conversation not too long ago about, like, well, what would be a good year for him? Well, you know, he's not the number one guy. He's not the number two guy. You know, I mean, we were questioning whether he could even be the number three guy because you got Christian Kirk there. So, you know, you're not going to have like the 850 yards. You're not going to be like Jefferson last year. So, but what can he do? I mean, I'm curious to see. I mean, I think that he could have an impact right away with, you know, maybe he could have 50 catches on the season, you know, for, you know, 800 yards or so, 700 to 800 yards. I think that could be a very impactful year.
We have asked for your help, and you guys have responded. And there is still more work to be done for our Giveathon benefiting Phoenix Children's Hospital. And next, we'll get a look at the tote board and give you another chance to donate coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station in the Arizona Sports app. Giveathon on the Burns and Gambo Show.
And it's brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. Boy, so many people to thank. Richard in Phoenix, Patricia in Scottsdale, Constance in Glendale, Todd in Scottsdale. They all became champions of hope. They all called 602-933-4567. 602-933-4567 and said, I want to be a champion of hope. I want to donate $20 a month to Phoenix Children's Hospital. I want to throw another teddy bear onto the train, Teddy Bear Express, and take it upstairs, have a volunteer right now, standing by right now at the hospital, waiting to put another teddy bear on the Teddy Bear Express and take it upstairs to one of the kids at the hospital. And we're very appreciative, not only for them who called in and said they want to be a champion of hope, but also great businesses in our community that have stepped up to help as well. And here's another one for you, Gambo. Rosati's coming by with this check presentation.
Hi, this is Lauren, and I'm John Stanley from the Arizona-based Rosati's. We're excited to be a part of this year's Giveathon. This is our first year being a partner with the Phoenix Children's Hospital, and we can't wait to continue our support. Therefore, we are honored to be able to present this check in the amount of $10,000.
We encourage the community to call Phone Bank at 602-933-4567 and support this year's Giveathon. On behalf of Rosati's, thank you, Phoenix Children's Hospital, for being there for our community to provide hope, strength, and to change children's health to change our future.
Well, welcome awesome. To the party,
thank
Rosati's.
You, Rosati's.
First
thank you.
Year in, yes.
We love hearing that. People that are coming on board. We've had people that have been with us for all these years, and you know, people like Rosati's that are just coming in. I mean, that's what it's all about. The community getting together, the businesses, but also the individuals. And we appreciate all those people that, you know, I've listened to the Giveathon for years. I've never donated. And now, you know what? I'm going to do it this year. We appreciate all of those people.
Yeah, thank you, Rosati's, for the $10,000 donation. And here's the reason why. we do this. There are 315 patients at the hospital right now. There are 113 alone in the emergency department. There are 25 in the NICU right now at Phoenix Children's Hospital. And a lot of them have stories very similar to the one you're about to hear. And it's Lucas's story. A family vacation at Disneyland turned into a terrifying ordeal for a family when the toddler's parents noticed his extremities had started to swell and turn purple. Learn more about this great PCH patient, Lucas's battle against a rare, life-threatening genetic disorder, and how he earned the nickname The Overcomer. Here's Lucas's story.
Hi, I'm Randy Gomez.
And I'm Emily Gomez, and this is Lucas's story. We were looking forward to a day at Disneyland, one of our first big family vacations. Lucas was not feeling well.
8 o'clock in the evening, we realized that, I mean, his legs were swollen, his feet were swollen, and it was, like, hard.
We ended up in the hospital.
His heart was enlarged.
They were afraid that he wasn't going to make it through the night because they hadn't seen a heart like that. And their goal was to get him stable enough to fly us closer to home.
Standing there over him, you know, I'm a mess, I'm crying, and I'm just like, man, I wish I could take his place.
I actually had a breakdown and told Randy that there was no way I could live life without Lucas.
You're gonna try to kiss and throw a punch and grow up way too fast. You're gonna drop the ball, hit the wall, and break some hearts like glass. I know you will.
Me and my girls ended up having to leave. The whole drive from LA to Phoenix was quite a blur.
They flew us out to PCH after 5 days of him spending it in the ICU. We get to Phoenix Children's Hospital. They apparently had a plan before we even knew a plan. Genetics played such a major role. Lucas was confirmed to have Barr syndrome, which is a genetic mitochondrial life-threatening disorder. A scary diagnosis. You know, a lot of these boys don't even make it to see the age of 3. Heart transplant rolled off their tongues pretty quickly. They told us that we had quite a long road ahead of us.
I truly believe that, you know, God placed us in Arizona for a reason, and that reason was PCH, to be like family to us.
Lucas literally was given the best team, and they just knew what to do right away. The fact that they have seen and heard of Barth syndrome, it's really what saved his life.
When you're going through that journey, it feels like the longest time ever. One day you turn around and wow, look where we're at now.
We just learned for the first time in 2 years, Lucas's counts actually went up close to normal. They're not completely normal, but it's the highest number we've ever seen. He's really come a long way in such a short time that I think it's kind of wowed us all. He's grown a lot, and that's all because of Phoenix Children's Hospital.
When he ate his first pancake,
you know,
we just got so emotional, and it's because of that. The donations that go there, the technology that they have, it helped him be him. Basically, you gave him a chance at
life. And he's made us live life a lot differently, you know, enjoying every moment.
We don't take life for granted now.
Boy, he's gonna know it all. He'll think he's 10 feet tall. Run like he's bulletproof and total a car, too.
We've got this poster up here in our studio.
Man, is he not the cutest kid? Look at him.
And he's the poster child, Lucas is. Yeah, he's.
For Giveathon Week. He's the poster child for Giveathon Week.
Lucas the Overcomer. Just a cute, cute kid eating his first pancake. And just the fact that Phoenix Children's Hospital actually knew what Barth syndrome was. I mean, you heard his parents talking about that. They knew. I mean, not many places knew. They knew what it was, and that's why they're the best. That's why we're so very lucky to have them here in our lives and in our community, and which is why we have to work to make sure that they have everything they need to continue to give us one of the best children's hospitals in the world right here in our backyard. And that is why we're very happy to announce not only the Desert Financial Phone Bank is open, but Rosati's, once again, is sponsoring a match right now as we speak. This will be our last one of the day, last opportunity to have your donation matched dollar for dollar when you call the Desert Financial Phone Bank, 602 833-4567. 602-933-4567.
Yeah, we're looking to get 567, you know, Champion of Hopes right now. Donate $20 a month. Become a Champion of Hope. We'll get back to you. You get a little incentive for this. You can get a $20 Papa John pizza gift certificate. You could also get a $20 super car wash value as well. So there's a voucher as well that you could get there too. So you could get a Papa John's gift certificate for $20 or a voucher for a $20 car wash, which will go right to you. And we're excited to give you that from Superstar Car Wash.
It is $20 a month. A teddy bear gets put on the train at Teddy Bear Express and taken upstairs in your name. Absolutely. We're starting to get the calls already. So we got the volunteers standing by at Phoenix Children's Hospital to put more of those teddy bears and put them on the train Teddy Bear Express. Once again, we are in the middle of a match. Rosati's, they are matching your donations up to $10,000 when you call 602-933-4567. You heard Gambo say it. We're looking for 10 great Burns and Gambo listeners who call and make a donation right now. You ready for a tote board?
I am ready for the tote board. Let's go.
3 days in, and we are at $948,205.
Closing in on a million.
Closing in on a million. There we go. Very close to a million. $948,000 raised so far for Phoenix Children's Hospital on Giveathon Week for Phoenix Children's, brought to you, presented by your Valley Hyundai dealers. Man, thank you everybody so far who has donated. We will continue with this tomorrow when we come back on the Burns and Gambo show. The Phoenix Suns in a good spot, not only because of what they did this last year, but what they could do in the coming years. And we'll tell you how good of a spot they're in next on the Burns and Gambo show. Take a look, imagine in the NBA, the 2024-2025 season, 3 years from right now. John Hollinger did this on The Athletic. I think it was one of our favorite stories that we talked about today. 2024-2025 season, Steph Curry is going to be 37 years old. He's going to be making over $50 million.
Damn.
Paul George is going to be 33. He'll be making $49 million.
I mean, it's almost over when you're that age.
Kawhi Leonard is going to be 32, making $49 million.
Yep.
Damian Lillard will be 34, making $49 million. Drew Holiday will be 34, making $38 million. And I go on and on. Jimmy Butler, LeBron James,
Russell
Westbrook.
How old's LeBron going to be?
LeBron is going to be 40.
Oh, my goodness.
And they could be paying him north of $50 million
that
year.
And he could start collecting Social Security that year. Jeez, man, 40 years old?
It's not old in relative terms to normal people for basketball players. It is very old when you consider that the last three All-NBA teams, so the last 3 years of All-NBA basketball players, have had only two players pass their 34th birthday. LeBron James and Chris Paul. That's
right. And you know how old the Suns' key players are going to be?
26.
26 for DeAndre, 27 for Mikhail, 27 for Booker, 28 for Cam.
Yep.
The key players on the Suns are all going to be in what is your prime. That's your prime.
Yes.
So you're going to have four key players in their prime while these other teams are all old. Now, with that being said, 5 years ago, the Denver Nuggets were 133 basketball games, and Nikola Jokic was a rookie, and nobody even knew if he was going to be any good. That was 5 years ago. So there will be a team or two that we're not even thinking about right now that is going to be really good in 5 years. Maybe it's the Spurs. Maybe it's the
Grizzlies.
I was going to say maybe it's the Timberwolves, but that just is not going to happen. That's just stupid.
Maybe it's the Pelicans.
Maybe it's the Pelicans, right. Somebody is going to be really good that we're not even thinking about. And one of these teams, not all of these teams are going to fall by the wayside because they have one guy or two guys that are 35, 36, 37. But you're right. They sold out to try to win now. The benefactor of that, the Suns are going to be a benefactor of that. These teams are going to be up against the cap. These teams aren't going to have assets because a lot of these teams have traded massive amounts of first-round picks and inventory to try to win now, where the Suns have all their picks going forward. They traded a first-round pick for Chris Paul, but so what? But overall, the Suns are in a good spot with their flexibility with the, all their draft picks going forward.
Yeah, does it guarantee you of a championship? No. But you start to look around the league and you realize very quickly that some of these elite players' windows are going to close. And if the Suns play their cards right, this window is not going to close. Even with Chris Paul getting older, this window is not going to close anytime soon, assuming that DeAndre Ayton develops, is re-signed and develops, and Mikal Bridges is re-signed and develops, and Devin Booker, who ultimately will have to be re-signed at some point, continues to develop and grow. The Suns are in a very enviable position looking at things kind of long-term right now, and that's the number one takeaway from this story. It is time for the Vizzy What's On Tonight, brought to you by Vizzy Hard Seltzer, the only hard seltzer crafted with antioxidant vitamin C, proud sponsor of your Arizona Diamondbacks. The Arizona Diamondbacks are on tonight. They're taking on the Philadelphia Phillies, 6:40 first pitch. You'll hear it here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station, which means we got to get you ready for that D-backs game.
The home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball is 98.7 FM Arizona's Sports Station. We're checking in on the D-backs as they warm up for the game's first pitch. D-backs on deck, brought to you by Sonic. This is how we Sonic. Stop by your nearest location today for the new Sonic Crave Cheeseburger for a limited time only at Sonic. And by Trajan Wealth. Get your retirement on deck with Trajan Wealth, your local trusted financial fiduciary. TrajanWealth.com.
Diamondbacks took the opener against the Phillies last night by a score of 3-2. Josh Van Meter, we had him on the show earlier. He hit a two-run homer in that game. Diamondbacks overall, a 500 baseball team in their last 26 games. Things are starting to come around a bit. Tonight's pitching matchup is brought to you by the Berg Simpson Law Firm. When the game is on the line and you've been injured, nobody matches up to the Berg Simpson Law Firm. Visit BergSimpson.com. That's BURGSimpson.com. Good lawyers changing lives for the Philadelphia Phillies. Ranger Suarez gets the start, 5-3 with a 1.07 ERA. Humberto Castellanos gets the start for the Diamondbacks tonight.
Yeah, Castellanos is he's made one big league start so far. It was on July 7th. It was here in Phoenix against Colorado. He struck out two over four scoreless frames. He's a 23-year-old right-hander, and he hasn't pitched any more than six innings during his time in the minors since that start. So he shouldn't have any limitations on how many innings he could go, but Humberto Castellanos filling in for Merrill Kelly.
Yeah, as the Diamondbacks are kind of scrambling in certain regards to put together their rotation. As I mentioned, the Diamondbacks won the opener of the series last night and have been playing much better ball as of late the last week or so, and really big picture the last month or so. The MLB standings, they're brought to you by PNC Bank. Financial tools and tech to help make things easier. It's interesting to look at the standings, and we all know in the National League West and across baseball, really, San Francisco, they've got the best record in the division and in all of Major League Baseball at 78-42. Dodgers are four games back, not only in the division, but again, across Major League Baseball. But if you go to the bottom of the overall standings, the Arizona Diamondbacks are no longer the worst team in Major League Baseball. That distinction belongs to the Baltimore Orioles,
who are losing again today, down 4-2 in the bottom of the fifth to Tampa Bay.
Yeah, so that is something worth keeping an eye on over the course of the rest of the season to see if the Diamondbacks can avoid that. As far as winning tonight, we got to get you a key to tonight's game, and Gambo's got one for you.
You be the key master.
I am the key master.
D-backs keys to the game, brought to you by Sell to Sands. Take away the hassle of selling a vehicle yourself. Go to sell2sands.com today.
Real simple. Rhys Hoskins has been, you know, relegated to a lot of bench because he's got a groin injury, and he's the Phillies' home run leader, and he was really raking. But since he hurt that groin, they've only averaged 2.1 runs per game in their last seven games. They've scored over five runs just once, and it's a factor because there's no protection in the lineup for Bryce Harper. So he's not hitting behind Bryce Harper. So the key to the game right now is work around Bryce Harper and don't let him beat you because he doesn't have the protection in the lineup.
And continue to keep an eye on those young players, too, for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Josh Rojas last night had three hits and a double in his last. Since coming back from the injury, he's hitting 520. And then Dalton Varsho, over the course of his
Varsho. He's one of my favorite of the young players.
21 games, he's hitting .339 with an OPS over 1,100.
I tell Steve Berthume, every time I talk to Steve Berthume, I say, I love that Varsho kid. I think he's going to be good.
Yeah, he's hitting really. He had a double last night as well. So, and then, of course, Josh Van Meter, who we had on the show earlier, he's also played really well offensively the last couple of weeks. So some of these younger players for the Diamondbacks are really starting to do their thing, and that's been good to see because these are potential future building blocks around the next good Diamondbacks team, whether it's Varsho, Rojas, Van Meter. Yeah.
Yeah, these kids are playing well, and every day one of those young kids is stepping up and doing something.
It's going to do it for us. We're out of here. D-backs baseball is next. We'll see you tomorrow straight up 2 o'clock here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Have a great night, everyone.